And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can always get the app at the App Store, Play Store, TuneIn Radio, and listen to Guardian all day. Or if you missed the beginning of this show, or you just think it's such an awesome show that you have to listen to it a second or third time, you can go to the National Art Gallery's website, where we archive the shows, at www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Education menu heading and then scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can listen to the shows. Don't forget, while you're on the site, to go to our calendar and look at what's upcoming. A lot of people say, oh, I didn't know that was happening. I didn't get an invitation. Send us your email address. We're happy to put you on our mailing list for free. Go to the website, www.nagb.org.bs. There's a calendar. You can click on the days. You can see what's happening. We have film screenings. We have talks. We have, of course, the openings. And, of course, for all of you listening, don't forget the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas is always free on Sundays. So there is not really an excuse not to go. Just go to the website, see what there is, or just pop on by. I'm in the studio tonight with Holly Bino, who's our chief curator at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, who just co-curated a show in Leipzig, Germany, called Übersee, or Overseas, Cuba and the Bahamas, Art from the Caribbean. We have 20 Bahamian artists in that show. One of them is in the studio with us tonight, Jeffrey Maris, who, thanks to support from the Ministry of Tourism, was able to fly to Germany and be in a studio that was donated to us from the Stiftung Feder Kiel, which is a German art foundation. So nice to know all these international art foundations wanting to have Bahamian artists. And actually, interestingly enough, in the first section, we were talking a little bit about engagement and how the artists, in Cuba really commit to the practice. I don't want to diss Bahamian artists because, I love you all, but I just got a phone call from the Davidoff Art Initiative, which I sit on that panel, which is a international foundation that gives studio space to Caribbean artists. And they've told me that in the last 3 years of their existence, they've received one application from a Bahamian artist to attend. So I'm just getting it out on the air that if you Google the Davidoff Art Initiative, they have these residencies that are available to Caribbean artists in Berlin and Beijing and Basel, New York. And then people are like, oh, I didn't know. Well, you know what? It's kind of your job if you're an artist to like figure out where residencies exist. It's not someone else's job to actually tell you about them.
It's not a secret.
Yeah, they publicize, they send out emails. So I really encourage artists who feel like, I'm in my studio, no one's paying attention to me. You've got to sort of put yourself out there, right? And find out, go to different residency websites, get on people's mailing lists. A lot of news organizations or the NAGB, we're really happy to send you information. All you got to do is like, give us your email address and make that step of contacting us and saying, hey, this is me. Because, we all in the world can't do the work of the researching every artist in every country. So we need people to reach out. So I would say if you're an artist, get online, look at just Google art residencies. And a lot of them are profiled. So some are for, black women, and some are for, gay men, and some are for people from the Caribbean, and some are for Chinese artists. But you can narrow that down to find residencies that want you, and you can apply to those residencies. So anyhow.
Yeah, there's actually...
It's okay to not get a residency.
Yeah, it's fine. No, you should apply for many, many, many. Exactly.
Yeah, you're
going to get turned down. Exactly. You're going to get turned down. It's just like being a model, right? Yeah. You're going to go to 100 castings and you're only going to pick once and you're going to think you're ugly even though you're beautiful. But,
I think the ratio is 1 in 70.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, if you've been on 2 before you hit 30, that's massive success. I think people have to be more engaged and more proactive in how they decide to look. There's this actual site called Residency Unlimited and Res Artists, and they have a
residencies.
Database.
They have a database of residencies.
They have
residencies.
A database of everything that you could possibly want. If you want to go in Timbuktu to work with metal from God knows where,
there are lots of residencies that are really interested in people of African descent specifically, in the Caribbean specifically, because a lot of these residencies that exist around the world are there to support artists, and they're there to support international artists, and they're there to support artists that are from countries that don't get the support they want in their country.
And there's this way that most of these residencies are now set up to offer support to diversify.
Yes, exactly.
Their programs, their
That's why I said some are specifically looking for, people of color, women, whatever. Yes. it might be. Yes. And so, you know, go out there. These are all online. And if you kind of put in the right search words, you're going to find some.
And
so,
as an institution, I think it's also our responsibility to act on your behalf. So mm-hmm. if you need a recommendation letter, if we have a relationship with you, it's the easiest thing to do. Reach out to us. Ask us for the help you need.
Yeah, exactly.
If we need to review things to make
it. We're not going
to
fill out the application form
for
you.
Not at all. We won't do the work that you need to do at all.
Yeah.
But we'd advise.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, just as a little aside there to say that Jeffrey got this great residency that allowed him to go to Germany for 2.5 weeks. And I think it's also really interesting because we bear within us, all of us, even those people that are really well-traveled, you know, we still have these kind of innate fears about certain places or the innate ideas about what a culture is going to be like. And I know that so many times I've invited Bahamian artists to Germany when I lived there and they were like, oh, everyone's going to be racist. Not at all. Germany is so not at all. Not true. And you know, again, don't be fearful of countries and what you might think about. Oh, I don't know, I want to go to residency in China. Just try it. Just try it and see. So, Jeffrey, how was your experience in Germany?
It was amazing. Like, I have like a very soft spot in my heart for Berlin.
Yeah.
But, you know,
everybody does because, you know, Berlin's Berlin.
Yeah. No, it totally is. But Leipzig itself was, you know, a very interesting town. Like, there was... It felt extremely livable. You know, things were very affordable.
Oh, it's much cheaper than Berlin.
Beer was very cheap, and I drank a lot of beer. I'm not ashamed to say that.
How were the sausages,
Jeffrey? I ate a lot of sausage and a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The sausage was delicious. We went to this dinner.
For the opening preview weekend.
Yeah, yes. And they had like the most delicious sausage I've ever tasted in my life.
Listen, my husband lives here and he's still constantly trying to make sausages here in the Bahamas because he's like, I can't eat the sausages here. So yeah, sausages are a big part of the culture.
Like, I'm not even a huge sausage fan, but you know.
No, they're just so good.
But
what about the other artists? Did you get to meet some of them? Unfortunately, there were a couple of Bahamian artists there. Dave Smith went, Blue Curry went. Mm-hmm. Lynn Perotti also was given a studio for us and she produced work on site.
Yeah. Yes.
So there were opportunities for other Bahamian artists. They just, none of them were able to come into the studio. And as Holly mentioned, there were 20 artists as part of that. So we can maybe read them out before the show ends. But then what about the Cuban artists? Were you able to develop some networks there?
Because definitely.
That's also a great reason for artists to travel. It's not just to get a studio, but to meet other artists and to get sort of engagement.
Yeah, definitely. I think to even begin with, like, the, you know, Hall 14 on its own, like, they had like the most amazing team like you could ever, you know, it was almost like a speed date, like, I'm gonna be in this relationship with you for 3 weeks, so we need to like love each other after 20 minutes, and it was totally that, you know. And I'm like, I'm gonna work on this weird project where I need an oven, and they're like, hey, we found two ovens for you. You know, it was just extremely beautiful to kind of have like that level of efficiency, you know.
Well, you know, you are talking about Germany.
That was also the really sort of provocative thing about the Halle. How, I mean, each person had a delineation of roles. And of course, if all hands needed to be on deck, it was that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the art director or the director of the space, Michael Arts, I think he's running a very, very tight ship, and he works with technicians that can like troubleshoot in like 2 minutes to figure out how to do things. Mm-hmm. So hanging a projector upside down, flipping it, you know, tying it off of a beam.
You know, we need a tugboat to go through like this. Yeah. Like, steel beam, we can do that.
Yeah, breaking down a wall in 5 minutes.
Yeah, what happens again, but also, in 5 minutes? It's just, you know, there's been a really advanced art scene in Germany since the turn of the century. Yeah. I mean, since the 20s. Like, every little dipshit town has a Kunsthalle, and the people in the community all pay into that. Like, you know, bricklayers and plumbers, they all pay into the Kunsthalle. I mean, it's only like, you know, 10 euros a year, 15 euros a year. And it's kind of a normal thing for the community in Germany to support art and artists. Whereas here, it's still kind of like, you know, what? Well, why should we join the NEGB? And so, again, you know, you're dealing with a level of professionalization there.
Right. Yeah.
In Vienna, in Germany, in places like that, where you know, it's, and I think that's something, is that it's a skill. It's a skill to be an art handler. It's a skill to be an art technician. It's a valued skill. And I think that's something that Holly and I are both trying to kind of bring here and have people understand, you know, that you can be involved in the arts in many ways without being an artist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your kids are interested in the art, let them do it, because these are valued jobs. And mm-hmm. as our culture industry grows, which we hope it will, mm-hmm. and I would love to see, I mean, I'm only the director of the National Art Gallery, so I'm just sticking with visual arts, but I could see, you know, a music museum, a food museum, a junkanoo museum, an applied arts museum. I mean, we could have all these museums mm-hmm. that would honor our culture and tradition, that would create jobs for people, and you need people to be able, and you can't just hire random people to do that. Have to be specifically skilled in how to handle these objects, which are part of our cultural patrimony.
Because, I mean, I think, you know, making any object is such an intricate relationship. You labor in the studio for like 6 months with this thing, and it comes out to be exactly what you want it to be. Maybe it shows you a couple of things about your practice. Maybe through accident you do X, Y, Z, but then you have a formula, and that formula has to be dictated to someone who needs to be able to execute it for this thing to live elsewhere, because it's not going to only live in your studio. So thinking about the industry that needs to support that is something that we also have to consider as people who are working within institutions, because we want to have work be executed in an exact way, and which is why I really support people, artists like John Beadle, who is like, he's very, very particular about his practice, particular about his install. And that piece that we supported for Ubersi, Higher Goals, you might remember it from it being in the ballroom in 2014-2015.
Yeah, for the NE7,
the cardboard cutouts. That went up in a day's time, and it kind of shocked me. I think it also shocked John, because he just assumed that I would have been calling him to ask XYZ. The team looked at it, they got it immediately.
They just, exactly, because it's a bit like how little kids can understand digital things. You know, like if you have been in the art business for a long time, you look at and you understand how it's put together, how you should treat it. And that's not just a job anybody could do. And, you know,
it's a very specialized skill.
It is. But it's an important skill because, again, you know, if we want to develop this nation, I think there really is a way to do that through museums and culture. And again, the museums don't all have to be about art, but you need people to handle objects, whether those are ceramics, whether those are straw baskets, whether those are shells, whether those are junkanoo costumes, whether they're whatever they are, instruments. You have to have people with a facility to handle objects a particular way. And, it, you know, and that is actually a specialized skill. And I think that's something we could really build on. So, you know.
And I think another strong thing was kind of meeting, you know, those Cuban artists is, you know, because like Holly mentioned earlier, there's almost like this longing to kind of know who, you know, what's happening across the pond. You know, like we know everything that's happening in New York and everything that's happening in Miami. We go to Art Basel and we go to Volta and we go to these different places. But like this relationship with Cuba is kind of like in this weird, ambiguous space. And so to finally meet, you know, those Cuban artists was an experience, because take for instance Felipe, like, you know, and when I was telling him about Colombia, he was like, oh yeah, tell Sanford hi, you know. We did Highland Residency together.
And how did they think about your work? Because actually, when I think about your work, we briefly touched on the idea of material. And I think something that you see a lot in the Bahamas, because people are reacting to their surroundings and their landscape. And there's specific artists that are more than others, like John Beadle or Heino Schmidt, who really like feed off the landscape. And I don't mean like the prettiness of the landscape. I mean, they pick up things the out of the street, you know, old nails on the road or whatever. And they kind of use that. Scavengers, exactly. And you're a little bit of a scavenger in a lot of ways. And I think that's something that actually connects a lot, because again, in Cuba, you know, we all complain about how expensive art materials are here, and they are. But in Cuba, you literally can't get them. So you have to make art out of, I mean, there are no shops in Cuba. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to buy a sandwich. There isn't like a sandwich shop. They look at you like you're trying to get drugs if you say, oh, where can I go buy a sandwich? Because there aren't stores as we understand them. People get rations, and they have their rations, and they have to live off their rations. So if you want a nail, you can't go to a hardware store. There are no hardware stores.
Yeah, I think it's really different when you visit Havana versus like places like Santiago de Cuba. I mean, the economy is really set up for tourism in places like Havana.
Of course. But so how was it? How did the Cuban artists like respond to your practice? Because your practice does seem like it actually could work pretty well in Cuba.
Yeah, like I think, you know, I had a lot of very fruitful conversations with Tanel and Felipe and Adrian, you know. I think, you know, even though we might be in different spaces, like there's like cross cultural dialogue that happens, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we're all interested in like, in a lot of ways, the same issues. Just as much as we're interested in them, they're interested in us, you know. And even to think about, like, you know, these kind of divisions that, like, my work often kind of address, I find that that was, like, a big theme in a mm-hmm. lot of a lot of the work that, you know,
yeah.
artists were making.
Yeah, I think when Tonella and I sat down to look at the artist list and figure out a framework, we were thinking about maybe four or five things. Cultural identity, being a post-colonial space, the effect that tourism has had on our landscape, our collective landscapes, mm-hmm. The way our economics is set up, and then that sort of power structure within government and within our social space that allows for a certain kind of artistic practice. So I think that these are very much shared experiences, yeah. which is why it was very easy for us to produce an edit.
Yeah.
For UberSea, and then parallel conversations so that work didn't seem disparate, and or if the conversation stopped at one thing, it continued in another mm-hmm. piece. For instance, when you go into the Halle, we've set up two video installations, one with Blue Curry's SSS project, mm-hmm. which was commissioned by the Biennale in Santa Fe, the Site Santa Fe project in 2014, but we did a new installation at the Halle, and we paired it with Manuel Pina's work, and his work is really speaking about the sea mm-hmm. and the abstraction of water and how water is this really, really powerful force that binds people together. But in his understanding of it, it's this force that expels. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of waste, a lot of garbage. Mm-hmm. And through the abstraction, it became this really sort of wild thing. In comparison to Blue's sort of slowed down, meditative scene with the Port of Nassau. Mm-hmm. So he filmed, he did a live feed.
A different approach to water.
I think he collected data for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. So you're able to see these giant like ships as they dock. You get to see the color shifts. So parts of it referenced, you know, live video. And then when you have that freeze frame and that like yellowing of the water and the sky, it became a postcard. Mm-hmm. So it really spoke about that kind of like current of tourism, the economics of the space. And that's just one connection. And I'm just speaking about like, the first connection that you make before you even enter
also
into
like
that
John
space.
Beadle and I think Adrian Fernandez with like those very kind of sporty motives.
Yeah, the sort of like the burden of the
African male body.
Absolutely, you know? To perform and to be, you know, excellent and how much pressure it is now because it's connected to another kind of economy altogether.
Yeah, well, sport, exactly.
Yeah. And then how Kendra's piece, Duran Duran, fit into that as well, boxing gloves and everything else.
Yeah, which was from the NE6. So in fact, it was actually very nice also. It's kind of gratifying that there was such strong work to draw on for this show. That came out of national exhibitions here. It gives me a lot of, hope and that we're sort of doing something, you know, that we're challenging our artists to, like, make work for the national exhibition, which they might not normally make because, you know, it won't sell here or whatever, but that, you know, it feeds into something meaningful. There was work from the NE6, there was work from the NE7, there was work from the NE8.
Yeah.
And actually your work, in a way, it did connect back to the work you did for the NE7 because you were cooking in that show too, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see how these works kind of have a life that goes on afterwards. So unfortunately, we are almost out of time, so because we could probably sit here and talk about this show for really, really a long time. Mm-hmm. So I really have to thank Holly for jumping in and like grabbing it by the horns, because let me tell you, it was all done very short. It was like this show was kind of sitting on a back burner for like a year and a half, and it was going to happen. It was going to happen. Maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe it is going to happen. And then suddenly it was happening. It was happening right now. It was happening. And so, yeah, so Holly really did an amazing job by kind of really making it meaningful in this iteration. I have to thank Jeffrey for always just being, you know, enthusiastic. That's I think
thank
already
you.
Like
thank
enthusiastic
you.
And showing up and doing the work.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course, it was our pleasure. And I want to just read out the names of the other artists involved. So I'm going to only read the Bahamians because, you know, we didn't have that much time. John Beadle, Ian Bethel Bennett, Blue Curry. I'm going through the list. I have to weed out the Kendra Farup, Tamika Galanis, Arnold Kemp, Dominique Knowles, Anina Major, Jace McKinney, Jeffrey Maris, Kareem Mortimer, Angelique V. Nixon, Holly Perotti, Lynn Perotti, Kia Poitier, Antonius Roberts, Heino Schmidt, Stephen Schmidt, Dave Smith, Giovanna Swaby, Tessa Whitehead, and Natalie Willis. So that's a really broad range of, first of all, generations. We have generations going back to people who are in their 60s down to people who are in their 20s. Really diverse representation of our nation and its artistic practice. And that's at the show called Übersee, or Overseas, Contemporary Art from Cuba and the Bahamas. It's showing at the Baumwollspinnerei, otherwise just known as the Spinnerei, in Leipzig, Germany. It opened on April 28th and it's running through August 6th, which is really fantastic because this summer in Europe is every 5 years is a huge kind of, you know, pilgrimage to Europe because something called Documenta happens, which happens every 5 years, the Venice Biennale, which happens every 2 years, and the Munster Sculpture Project, which only happens every 10 years. Every so often they coincide and it turns into this huge art pilgrimage. And of course, there's Art Basel happening, which happens every summer. And so you get really hundreds of thousands of people, and I'm not exaggerating, going to Germany and Switzerland and Italy to do this kind of art tour. We call it the Grand Tour. And I'm sure that many of those people are going to make it to Leipzig to see the Bahamian art, the Cuban and Bahamian art there. And I believe strongly it's going to really do a lot for us. So I'm so grateful to the Baumwollspinnerei for inviting us, to Holly for pulling that together, and to all the Bahamian artists that made work. So again, you know, just reminding everybody, we have shows. If you can't make it to Europe, we have amazing shows at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas that are being taken around the world. So some of them on right now are Revisiting an Eye for the Tropics, that our own Ricardo Barrett and Natalie Willis co-curated on the ground floor. That's kind of a greatest hit. So you're going to get Eddie Minnis in there and Brent Malone and Jackson Burnside. So, you know, people say, oh, we always talk about contemporary art. You know, we love the masters and we always have them on show at the National Art Gallery. So that's a great show. On the upper floors, we have Thierry Lamar's retrospective, which is just a beautiful love story to the Bahamas. That Jeffrey just saw it. It's incredible. Beautiful watercolors of people and traditional life in the Out Islands. And we have a very cutting edge show called The Unseen Structure, which was curated and conceived and kind of affected by John Cox, which is really a kind of ode as well to his father's practice, George Cox. So those are all on show at the National Art Gallery, and we also have our film program throughout the summer. So please go to www.nagb.org.bs, check out what's happening, and come visit us. I want to thank the guests for being here tonight. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening, and good night.